North Carolina. That was in 1903 on this day in history. On this day in 1777, France recognized America's independence. In 1830, South American revolutionary Simon Bolivar died in Colombia. In 1933, the first NFL championship game took place. The Chicago Bears defeated the New York Giants 23-21 at Wrigley Field. On this day in 1944, the U.S. Army announced the end of its policy of excluding Japanese Americans from the West Coast. And in 1957, the United States successfully test-fired the Atlas Intercontinental Ballistic Missile for the first time. On this day in 1969, the U.S. Air Force closed its Project Blue Book by concluding that there was no evidence of extraterrestrial spaceships behind thousands of UFO sightings. And those are some of the events that have taken place on this day in history. The weather for today, mostly cloudy with a high near 22. Southeast wind around 6 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 11. Friday, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy with a high near 26. Currently in Wausau, overcast skies. It's 7 degrees above zero at 8:59. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. The views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself and may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. Today we finish up the book of Philippians. We pick up our study in chapter 3, verse 20. And we will go through the fourth chapter and finish this book. But first, Father, I ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Christians, says this: our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that is normal for Christians. True Christians are citizens of heaven. We just are. That's why, if we are truly saved, if we are truly Christians, then we will live with eternity in mind. It's the most natural thing in the world. If I'm an American citizen living in, let's say, Iran, let's say war breaks out between Iran and America, I guarantee you that I am pulling for the USA. I may be living in Iran, I may be working in Iran, but I'm pulling for the United States to win. And Christians may be living on earth, but we are citizens of heaven, and that's why we pull for God, not for the devil, and that's why we pull for God, not for the world, when it sets itself up against God and the Word of God. For saved, we have a heart for God. 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And this is such great news. Our present body, if we are a Christian, will be transformed into a glorious body, like Jesus had after he was raised from the dead. So, if you're a Christian, I'm talking to you right here. God is talking to you. You're going to be in that body of yours, that one you're in right now. You're going to be in that thing forever. Only, it's going to be fixed up, new and improved, never sick, never tired, never an ache, never a pain, and never to die. We have an awful lot to look forward to as Christians because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's why any Christian who isn't going full blast for Jesus Christ is either not a real Christian or he has lost sight of what Jesus has done for him. He paid for our sins, he saved us from hell, and he's going to rebuild these bodies of ours and turn them into something that we will be able to enjoy on the new earth, which is something else he's going to make. 21 again. Who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly body so that it will be like his glorious body. God is God. Jesus is God. And Jesus will bring everything under his control. And since he is 100% good, that means that when he has control of everything, everything will be 100% good. Chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I like how the apostle, even though he was called by Jesus, given the authority of an apostle by Jesus Christ himself, Paul did not try to twist anyone's arm to get them to live for Christ. You know, he didn't come up with a bunch of holiness rules, so to speak. He said, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. It's pretty passive, isn't it? And he says, stand firm in Jesus. Stand firm. Don't let the world pull you away from Christ. You know, don't latch on to the first shiny object that comes along to entice you away from righteousness. That shiny object has a hook in it, and it will destroy you. So stand firm. Stand firm against the enticements of sin. And it's hard at times. It takes real effort at times. But use some spiritual elbow grease and stand firm for holiness. You'll be glad you did. And so will Christ. Verse 2, I plead with Euodia. And I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. One mark of a Christian who is in the flesh, operating under the influence of their sin nature instead of operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit who is in them, one indication that that is happening is bickering. When Christians are not getting along, either one or both are not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets along just fine with himself. So if two people are under the control of the Holy Spirit, they're going to get along just fine with each other. All it takes is one person in the flesh to cause trouble. And there will be trouble. Because the Christians involved who are under the control of the Holy Spirit will oppose the one who's in the flesh. They must. Sin cannot be tolerated. Heresy cannot be allowed simply to promote so-called peace. The Bible says, as much as is possible, live at peace with one another. But sometimes peace is not possible. Peace at any price is not a biblical concept. Peace at the price of tolerating sin or evil or false teaching is turning peace into an idol. Verse 2, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. You know, even dedicated Christians like these two ladies who love the Lord sometimes need spiritual help. It's because it's very easy to get out of the spirit and into the flesh, and then there's going to be trouble. Everyone needs help in their walk with the Lord. Sometimes, you know, and sometimes we need instruction, and sometimes we need correction, and sometimes we need encouragement. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. He said it before and he says it again. Rejoice in the Lord. Praising God is good because he deserves it. That's number one. Praising God is also good because it's good for us. You know, the Bible says that God lives within the praises of his people. So we draw close to God when we give him glory, and that does wonders for our soul and our behavior. Five, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. A Christian should not be harsh. We should be honest, and we should speak the truth, even when the truth makes one uncomfortable. But we should always be kind and gentle in our actions and in our words. And when there's a need for correction, even that should be done with gentleness, never in anger, never with a haughty attitude. So he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? The Lord is near. Be gentle because Jesus is near. He's near enough to see how we are behaving, and it won't be long before we're standing before him giving an account. God's nearness, Jesus' nearness, should put a holy fear in everyone. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. In other words, God is saying to Christians, don't worry, pray. When we pray about something, we are placing it in God's hands. His loving, all-powerful, all-wise hands. That's a real good place for whatever it is that we're praying about to be. In the all-powerful, all-loving, all-wise hands of God. Prayer hands that thing off to God. That's why we can pray, and then we can trust that God will take care of it the way that he knows is best. Now, if we're going to worry about things not turning out the way we would like, well, then we've got an even bigger problem than whatever it is that we're praying about. Our biggest problem is a sinful self-centeredness. And in that case, we deserve to worry. And in that case, worry is actually a consequence of our sin, the sin of self-centeredness. See, what God wants us to do is pray and trust him to do what he knows is best. And if we do that, then we're not going to worry. Verse 6 again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And don't forget the thank yous, God says. Don't forget the thank yous. No one likes being taken for granted. That's pretty basic, isn't it? You like to be thanked when you do someone a favor, and it's only common courtesy to do that. Nobody likes to be taken for granted, and that includes God. Besides, being unthankful is often the first step toward falling away from God. When we forget that we depend on God, we soon forget God altogether. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer and thanksgiving to God leads to inner peace. God will give us a peace that doesn't even make sense. That's what he means when he says, it surpasses all understanding. And what that means is that our circumstances as Christians can be lousy, frightening. But God will flood our soul with his peace if we pray and we trust him and we draw close to him. 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you're going to dwell on something, in other words, dwell on the good stuff. That's what God says. Dwell on the good stuff. Think about what God says is right. Think about all the good things God has done and will do. Now, this doesn't mean that we can, and we should, pretend that bad isn't there. He's not asking us to live in non-reality. But some people constantly dwell on negative things. Constantly dwell on and talk about negative things. And that is just a recipe for depression. And it certainly is draining to be around people like that as well. 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. In other words, what he is saying here is that obedience to God is a prerequisite to having the peace of God. Worry is a sin. And worry is also the result of sin. You can't have the peace of God unless you're obeying God. The Bible says there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Now it is 9:14. This is, I think, a good time for our break. We will take our break, and we'll be back after this one-minute message. Please listen to it. You are listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. If you live in snow country or you have a chance to visit areas that experience quite a bit of snow in the wintertime, you may have found yourself feeling a bit sorry for the animals that have to survive. We're told that in North America there are literally hundreds of different species of birds. And many of them remain in a geographical area even in the coldest of winters. How do they stay warm? How do they find food? I feel sorry for them, but if you watch them in the cold wind and snow, they seem to be doing just fine. Jesus occasionally mentioned birds, noting that God cares for them too, just as he does for all his creation. Now imagine how much more a God who cares for the birds of the air cares for you. That's a pretty nice thought, isn't it? This is By the Way.
And with overcast skies, it is 7 degrees in Wausau at 9:15. And welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We are currently studying the book of Philippians. We're in chapter 4, and we're actually wrapping up our study in this book. We resume our study in verse 10, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, which reads, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. People cannot tell if we care about them unless we do something to help them in some way. If we don't show our concern, then no one will know that we are concerned. Well wishes are nice, but they mean nothing without acts of kindness. So you can't expect people to believe that you are concerned about them if there aren't any acts of kindness and compassion on your part. Verse 11. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Contentment is something which must be learned. It doesn't come to a Christian overnight. It is a process. It is a byproduct, actually, of spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity comes from drawing close to Christ through the Word of God, through worship, through church, through prayer, all those spiritual disciplines. Verse 12. I know what it is like to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And we can see that life is a mixed bag, not just for us, but for the Apostle Paul. Life is a mixed bag of good days and bad days. It's true. And so, unless one wants to be an emotional roller coaster, they better do what Paul did, and that's put Jesus Christ first and find their contentment in their relationship with Him, because He's always steady, and you can always find joy and peace in Him, regardless of whether it's a good day or a bad day. 13. He says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength, and that's referring to Christ. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ if we are Christians. We belong to Jesus, and we can only do what He allows. So it doesn't pay to worry about what we can't do. It's not going to change anything. God will give us the grace and the means to do what He wants us to do, and we have to be content with that. We'll go out of our minds if we are not. Verse 14. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. And it's good. That is a good thing. It is good when we try to help someone get through hard times. A little bit of help can make a big difference in someone's life. If nothing else, it's nice to know that you're not alone. 15. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you. You only, he says. It is hard when Christians do not give. It is very hard on a preacher. And it often hinders the work of God. Because, you know, a preacher has to live too. And then it's hard, because a lot of times preachers have to go out and get secular work. Nothing wrong with secular work, but if everybody was doing their part as a Christian, then preacher could teach the Word of God full time. And that's the way it's really supposed to be. But the Philippian Christians, they were one of the few groups which supported the apostle, and he never forgot their faithfulness. 16. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. They gave because it was the right thing to do. They even gave when Paul was in another place ministering the word of God to others, not them. Now that's what you call a heart for God. 17. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. Now think about this. When we as Christians give, when we give to the work of God, God credits our spiritual bank account. With what? I'm not sure. But I don't need to know, to be honest with you, because I know God. And we can be sure that if it's a reward from God, then it's better than anything that we could possibly imagine. 18. I have received full payment, and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Anything a Christian gives to the work of God is seen by God as an offering to Him. Forget the middleman. Forget the preacher. God sees it as a gift directly to Him. When a Christian gives to a church that is giving out the Word of God, or to a ministry that is teaching the Word of God, that Christian is giving to God, and they are pleasing God. And that's important. Whenever I see in Scripture, this pleases God or that pleases God, and it's spelled out, I always take note of that because we all know how to displease God. And we all do it plenty of times with our sin. And so it is nice to know how to please God as well. And giving to God's work pleases Him. Verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God will give us what we need. Maybe not what we think we need. Maybe not what we want. But He will give us what we need for as long as He wants us to be here. 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Everything should be done to glorify God. Everything should be done with that in mind, to honor God. If it doesn't honor God, then a Christian should not do it. 21. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. And Christians ought to be gracious and polite to one another and make one another feel welcome. 22. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. What people, you know, Roman guards and other members of Caesar's household, I suppose servants and stuff, they were coming to Christ left and right. You know why? It's because the Apostle Paul was under arrest. And anyone he was chained to, and sometimes he was chained to guards 24 hours a day. You can bet they got an earful of the Word of God. You think it's hard listening to me for a half hour teach the Word of God? Imagine being chained to the Apostle Paul 24 hours a day. Man, they were getting the Word of God, believe me. And a lot of them were coming to Christ because it's truth. Lots of people who worked for the Roman government, heathen, were coming to Jesus Christ and receiving salvation as a gift from God because they were given the Word of God. That's the only way it happens. 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And it is. If you're a Christian, the grace of Jesus Christ is with your spirit. God's grace. He ends this book the way He began it, talking about God's grace. God's grace is His goodness toward those who don't deserve it. It begins with Jesus dying on the cross for sinners who don't deserve it, paying for their sin. That's a product of the grace of God. And then anything that we are able to do that is pleasing to God is done by the grace of God. It's done by the power of God that works in us. We are saved by grace. We live by grace. We will enjoy eternity by the grace of God. All the good that we have, they are products of God's goodness towards those who do not deserve it. If you have any questions for me or comments for me, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. It would be great to hear from you. I would be greatly encouraged if you appreciate this program, if you would drop me a line or an email. That's a lot easier for some people. And you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. Again, vbyvmm@aol.com. Your questions, your comments, they are always welcome. Drop me a line to let me know you're out there listening. I would appreciate the encouragement. And if you got some complaints, that's fine too. If you're looking for a place to worship, you can join us this Sunday. We meet every Sunday at 10 o'clock. Our church service is very simple, lasts about 50 minutes, but I think it'll be a blessing to you. If you like the Word of God and you want a simple worship service, then come and join us Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We meet at Island Place right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. Service lasts about 50 minutes. I don't know if I said that already or not. about 50 minutes. And again, 10 o'clock Sunday morning at Island Place right here in Wausau. That's right next to Oak Island here in Wausau on River Drive. You're welcome to join us. And if you want more of the Word of God, feel free to check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website. And that can be found at maret.org. You can study the entire Bible online with my audio Bible commentaries. And of course, it's always free. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. So it's there for your benefit, for your enjoyment, your spiritual growth. That address is meuret.org. Again, meuret.org. And check out the Christmas videos. I think you'll really enjoy that. That can be found on the front page. You see a link. Until tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I'm with you Monday through Friday, by the way, at 9 o'clock. And until tomorrow morning, this is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. So long, everyone.